If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 11 this evening. And the title of the message this evening is Our Ministry. Our Ministry. The apostle says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. The Lord our God has purposed and decreed the salvation of all of His people from eternity, from the beginning. We saw this on Sunday morning when I preached from Genesis 1:1. We saw that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. That's us. That's us. In darkness. And the Spirit of God moved. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. In the beginning of the Word of God, these things that were hidden and known only to God, He has revealed them unto us. These hidden mysteries, these types and shadows of His anointed Christ, were all through the Scriptures. From the beginning, He started revealing a little, and then a little more, and then a little more. But now Christ has already come. The light has dawned, the day has come, and the light shines. Where does the darkness go? Well, the darkness goes away. You put a light on something, and if it's not bright enough, it'll cast a shadow. One thing about this building is we need more light. I always think that. I see too many shadows. But I'll tell you what, you put a bright enough light in here, there won't be any shadows. And God is Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. God now, having sent His Son, of whom the whole Word of God speaks. If we study the Word of God and we don't find Christ, we're not studying it right. We're not looking at the Scriptures the way God intended for us to look at them. I'll tell you, there's a lot of people read these same verses and they get a lot of good stuff. They get a lot of good things to do. But they miss Christ, they miss the whole thing. They miss Christ, they miss the whole thing. He has revealed these hidden mysteries first to His apostles and now unto us by their word. By their word. Peter said, those prophets that prophesied, they prophesied of things to come. But yet they did not understand fully what they were saying. They did not understand fully what they meant. But now, we have the full revelation. We have the full picture. We have the full light of the gospel. These things that God had hid only in Himself, He's now revealed by His Son. And even so, as God has committed His Word, His sacred trust, this gospel of Christ, He has committed this gospel, this ministry unto us. First of all, He's delivered this ministry to pastors and preachers of the gospel. The Apostle Paul, he was an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he was given the sacred trust of writing the Scriptures, of writing the Word of God so that we would have it, establishing these churches, giving him authority over these churches. But now that these apostles are gone, there are no more apostles. And from what I understand, evangelists are those who had gifts and were given special powers by the apostles, like Philip, the evangelist, who went from place to place. Now, there are what we call evangelists, missionaries. We have missionaries that go out. But this office of evangelist, I believe that too, is not an office anymore. What do we have? Pastors and teachers. That's what God has ordained to give this ministry. And Paul said this to Timothy. He said, He has put this into my trust. A sacred trust to preach the Word of God. Now Paul said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Now, he didn't say, woe is me if I preach not. He said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel that is committed to my sacred trust. And the same is true to me. Woe is me if I don't tell you the gospel. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel to you. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this ministry is not given to me or to other men, because we are more gifted than anybody else. This ministry is not given to us because of our talents or our wisdom or our learning. It's not any of these reasons. Why do we have this ministry? Look at that in verse 1 again. We have this ministry as we have received mercy. How did you receive mercy? We see mercy by grace. Grace and mercy go together. Because I'll tell you what, if you received mercy, you didn't deserve it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be mercy. It has to be undeserved. And friends, this ministry that I am given here in this place truly is undeserved. It's mercy. It's grace that God has given me this ministry. He puts men into the ministry. Men today look at this as a job, as though it's something that you can just go out and obtain, something that you can just learn as you could learn to be a doctor, you can be a preacher. No, that's not true. No, God puts men. He thrusts them out into the ministry. He compels us. Preach the gospel. And He does this for your sakes. He does this for you. He does this for all of His people. That He has given pastors and teachers for the edification, for the building up of the saints, for the encouragement, for the strength of the gospel. To preach the gospel to you. But I tell you that this ministry that I have here, the ministry that God has given me here in this place, is not just my ministry. It is our ministry. It is our ministry. Paul said, seeing we have this ministry. We have this ministry. This ministry is not just mine, but it's our ministry. What is a ministry? Is it not simply service? Isn't that what a minister does? A minister serves. Today we think about minister. When you say that word, people automatically assume it's a high, lofty place. Actually, to minister is to be a slave, to serve one another. We'll see that in just a little bit here. But this is our ministry. It is given to you, as it is given to me, to preach the gospel. Go over to Acts chapter, hold your place here, but go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. This is just after Stephen was stoned, and the church was scattered because of Saul of Tarsus. And look at it with me in verse 4. It says, therefore they were scattered abroad, went everywhere doing what? Preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Now these two words are the same in our language, but in the original text, they are not the same word. They're not the same word. This word that is used in verse 4 is where we get our word to evangelize. That's where we get the word from. They went everywhere evangelizing. What does that mean? That just means to tell the gospel, to preach the gospel, to declare the gospel. Everywhere they went, they proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. They proclaimed it. This message we preach is a joyful message. It's a joyful message to a sinner. That's not so much to a self-righteous person, but this message is joyful to a sinner. And they went everywhere joyfully preaching the gospel. They preached the gospel everywhere they went. Now what does that mean? Does that mean that they stood up and preached? No, that's what the second word means. When Philip went to preach the gospel, that word means a public crier. In these days when Rome had a law, they would have a man go out with a barreling voice. And he would stand in the middle of the square and he would shout the law. He would shout it out so everybody could hear what the Senate had said. That's what he did. He was a public crier. That's the office and the ministry that I am given to preach the gospel. You are given the ministry of preaching the gospel where you are, in a private ministry. I know that you know people that I don't know. I know that. I didn't know Joe until y'all brought him. I had no idea who he was. But I know this, you know them. And you should preach to the people you know. What does that mean? It means to live in front of them. Not just to say the words. Not just to straighten their doctrine out. It is to live and breathe Christ in front of them every day. That is your service to all that are around you. Go ye. I love the King James Version because that word is very specific. Ye means singular, personal. Not go you guys. Or use guys. I heard that the other day. Use guys into all the world. No. Go you singular into all the world. And preach the gospel to every creature. This is the Great Commission. Jesus said, do men light a candle and stick it under a barrel? No. What you do is you light a candle and you put it up real high so it lights the whole room. Friends, you are the light of the world. Is that not astonishing? Do you not feel the gravity of your responsibility, of your duty to shine the light that God has given to you, to shine it to others? He said, you take that and you put it on a candlestick so that everybody can see. You remember in 2 Kings when those four lepers were starving to death outside that? Nobody had food inside the city. It was a famine. I think they sold a horse's head for I don't know how many pieces of silver. I mean, they were starving to death. And these lepers said, well, we can't go in there. Let's go on out of here and maybe these Assyrians will have mercy and they'll let us. And they went out there and they found that the Assyrians were gone, that God had had killed them and drove them away. And there was nothing there but all their stuff. And they ate and they ate and they ate. And they got so full, they gathered up so much treasure and there was so much more left. They said, man, we just got to tell somebody. We can't just have this to ourselves. It's too much. Have you ever felt like that about the gospel of Christ? That it's just too much for you to stay right here, just at me. It's too big. I've got to tell. I've got to get this out that sinners can be saved by the grace of God. It's got to be too big. And they went back and they told everybody, and then everybody came and fed. Everybody. They said that, they had a whole measure of wheat that sold for just a few pennies that by the end of the day, there was so much stuff, so much food. But Philip, he proclaimed in a public way, and my ministry is to all who will hear, all who come here and hear the gospel. You come here to hear the gospel. I pray that's your case. I pray that's what you desire out of this, is to hear the voice Christ, to hear the message of forgiveness of sins. Good news. I'm here to extol, to exalt Christ, to preach Him crucified and risen again. And it is your ministry. It is your ministry. As you attend here, you are fulfilling your ministry. In other words, you are identifying with the message of Christ. You are identifying with the gospel message that is preached in this place. And so everyone that saw us go, everyone that saw us leave, if they knew where we were going, then we testify that this is where they should be. We testified this is where they should go and hear the gospel. We witness to all men, not just by words, but by our actions, by our life of service and love for the gospel and for His people. Now, why do we have this ministry? Why are we given this ministry? We're given this ministry out of mercy. Look at that. He said, we have this, received this by mercy. Why is it that we have believed on Christ and others have not? Mercy. Mercy. The self-righteous religious man is always trying to prove his ministry. He's always trying to prove it. How? By good works and good deeds and showing himself obedient to the law. That's how religious men prove their ministry. They say, well, I was given this ministry because I'm really good at talking. Or I'm really good at getting people to put money in the plate. Or I'm really good at building houses, so I must have a ministry. And so they prove their ministry by what they do. Our ministry doesn't come by what we do. Our ministry comes only because God has given it to us. Only because He's had mercy on us. We see the only cause, the only reason for such a great gift is sovereign mercy. I'll tell you what. In this mortal frame and sinful old man, I know this, we become weary in well-doing. Do you become weary? Do you feel like that little hamster in the wheel that just keeps spinning? That poor guy. I identify with him. I understand. He just keeps rolling and going nowhere. That's how I feel. I feel like you struggle and you fight and you strive to do well and you just don't seem to be going anywhere. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. Is the trial too rough? Does the mountain seem too steep? Well, if God the Holy Spirit should ever put this in our hearts and keep it close to us, we would not faint if we would recognize it's all of grace. We wouldn't faint. He said, we've received this by mercy. We faint not. God's people never quit believing. We always believe. We always believe that we are saved by the grace and mercy of God through Jesus Christ alone. If we can see this, if we can see it's by grace, then we can see it's of God. He's the God of all grace, isn't He? So if this ministry that you've been given to witness and to proclaim the gospel, if this ministry that I have been given to cry out the gospel in a public way, if we would see this as the gift and mercy of God, then we wouldn't faint. We would faint not. This ministry of the gospel has never been and never will be sustained by our strength or wisdom. Is that why we get weary? You bet it is. We're trusting ourselves too much in the ministry. We're trusting our wisdom instead of the wisdom of God. I heard this evening. You can, if you witness to a man and you do the best job that anybody could ever do, you lay out the arguments as straight and as plain as can be, there's always going to be a but in there with the lost man. But what about this? But what about that? Now you can answer every question and he still will not believe. Unless God the Holy Spirit give it to him. You're not going to be able to give it to them. You're not going to be able to explain it enough. Doesn't that just take the burden off? Doesn't that just relieve you of the burden? Should. It's not about our wisdom or our strength. You know, we understand by faith. We believe and therefore we understand. It's not that we understand and therefore we believe. We believe, therefore we know. We know whom we have believed. We know whom we believe. Therefore, Paul calls this, he said, we come not in the wisdom of men. Look over that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, I proclaim the gospel and trust the power of God to do with it as He pleases. It's the power of God. There's no other way you would believe what I'm saying if it wasn't the power of God. It's a revelation. It's not understanding and then believing. It's believing. It's faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The gospel that we preach is not to trick men. We're not trying to trick people to come. You're not trying to trick people to believe it. Paul says in our text in verse 2, he says, "And we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." He said, you remember and see if you can find one thing that we've done dishonest. One thing we've done to try to trick you into believing. The gospel is a light. It is our ministry. We set it up high above everything else. So that if men will not see, it's because they're blinded by their father, the devil. He said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid, and them are lost. He said, I've made everything as honest as I possibly can. You're a sinner and can't save yourself. The only hope for you is that God save you. And He only saves you by His grace. He'll only save you through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. To the world, that's foolishness. To us, it's altogether the power of God and salvation. We believe. We believe the gospel and we hold it up high. The ministry of the gospel does not come by carnal learning, but by revelation. Well, how is it then that we set this ministry up? If it's our ministry, if it's your ministry, if it's my ministry to preach the gospel, to declare the gospel of Christ, how is it that we set this gospel up high so that everyone can see? Look at verse 5. What do we preach? Well, we preach not ourselves. You want to lift it up? Abase yourself. You see, you and the gospel cannot be on the same plane. We cannot lift up ourselves and lift up Christ. It can't be done. We preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. We are not here to promote this church. I am not here to promote myself. And neither should we promote anything of ourselves to others. One of the wisest things that my pastor ever said to me when I was called to preach the gospel, he said, "Don't promote yourself. If God calls you, surely He'll open the door." And He has. He has. We have this ministry by mercy, and we are to promote only the Lord Jesus Christ. By God's grace, I want to set Christ before you every single time I stand here. I just want you to see Christ. I want you to see His beauty, His glory, His mercy, His majesty, His death, His resurrection. I want you to see how glorious God has made Him to sit on the throne of heaven, to rule all things after the counsel of His own will, to do us good. We point men to a person we know. Somebody talks to me about Jesus, and I don't know who they're talking about. I'm going to tell them. I don't know who that is. You and I, we're talking about two different men. Two different men. Jesus is the only salvation for sinners. Our works and our religious deeds, our decisions have nothing to do with our salvation. We promote not ourselves. In other words, we set ourselves on the same level playing field as everyone else, sinners. God help us not to look down at anyone. I pray that God would help us to see who we really are. And then we can have compassion on someone else. See what God really has done for us. Then we can really have compassion on someone else to call them to come. How do we set this ministry up? We do not promote ourselves. It is a ministry of mercy and humility. Jesus Christ is Lord, and we are your servants for Christ's sake. Your servants. I'm your servant. Not for your sake, for Christ's sake. You should be my servant, not for my sake, but Christ's sake. We should serve men. Serve them with the gospel, with love, with mercy, with grace, compassion. You know, Jesus said this. He said, "By this all men shall know that you're my disciples, that you have love, one for another." He didn't say, by your great wisdom and theology, that he shall know that you are mine. No. He said, by your love. By your love for each other. Service to each other. Service. And we truly love because he first loved us. Let me ask you this. How precious was the Lord Jesus Christ to make himself of no reputation and to suffer like he did? How much more precious was the person of Christ than our person? How dare we boast of any right not to serve one another? How arrogant would that be? Not to serve one another when he condescended to such men of low estate. Who maketh thee to differ by grace from another? Or what hast thou hast not received? And if you've received it, why are you acting like you didn't? Why are you boasting as though you didn't receive it as a grace of God? How could we exalt ourselves? It's God that commanded the light. Look at that in verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Who shined that light in your heart? Who put that there? God did. Why'd he do it? You won't find any answer in you or me. He did it because he would. Because he loved you. It's God that shined out of this empty, dark heart and gave us the understanding of Christ. And when God gives us the light of life into our hearts, where does the darkness go? You cut on the light, where does the darkness go? That's pretty simple, isn't it? Goes away. I don't know where it goes, but it goes away. It's gone. It's gone. As long as the light is on, the darkness can't stay. And God created that light in us, and the darkness is gone. My sin is gone. Gone. It Therefore, we should be confident of this ministry. It's God that worketh in you both the will and do of His good pleasure. We should be confident. We should declare it without compromise. Declare it that it's by grace and show it by love. Where does this ministry reside? Look in verse 7. But we have this treasure, where? In a clay pot. Now I'll tell you what, most people don't put jewels in a clay pot, do they? If you had a bunch of treasure, I'm sure that you wouldn't put it in your potted plants outside. Nancy, you got some potted plants. Don't you love to plant? You wouldn't put it in a potted plant. Why? It breaks so easy. God put the treasure of His Son in a clay pot. You. Treasure of His ministry. The sacred trust of His ministry. In such vessels, earthen vessels. This ministry is given not to the mighty of the wise, but to clay pots. Perishing things of clay, born but for one brief day. And that's where God chose to put His ministry. Believer in Christ, truly our outward man perisheth, but the inner man is renewed day by day. We see the mercies of God every morning. It's the mercy of God I'm here tonight. And it's the mercy of God you're here tonight. And if we'll come back, it's by the mercy of God we come back. It's by the mercy of God. And because it's in this clay pot, trouble will abound. Paul says this in verses 8 through 11. He says, we are troubled on every side. We are perplexed. We are persecuted. We are always dying. We are delivered up to death. Now, if you were selling something, would that be the pitch you would use? You're trying to sell something? I mean, would you just put it in that kind of light? The apostle's not trying to sell anything. He's telling it how it is. If we are to believe in Christ, we would take up our cross daily and die daily. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Through Christ, we are more than conquerors. Are you troubled on every side? Are you perplexed? Are you cast down? You bear about the dying of the Lord in this mortal frame. That's what Jesus told us we'd do. Why would we be surprised if it's any different? Why? Do we get so surprised when we're troubled? This phrase here, we are troubled on every side. We're troubled on the outside and on the inside. Trouble from the right, trouble from the left. Trouble from the top, trouble from beneath. It's all around us. Trouble, 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 trouble. On every side, the prince of darkness wants to destroy. He can't destroy our souls. He desires to destroy our testimony, our ministry. Believer, we may be constantly attacked. But look at this. We are not distressed. The word distress means to hem up, to narrow. I know that you've heard this about the Spartans when they went in that narrow passage and those 300 Spartans would kill thousands of those Persians that came through there. They hemmed them in, a narrow way, We're not hemmed in a narrow way. God has placed us in a large place. There's always room. There's always room. We may be hated and accused. We may be cast down by the enemy. We may be surrounded. Friends, I'm justified. What can they do to me? That's a large place to be justified, isn't it? To be justified by God, that's a large place. Who are you to condemn me? It's God that justified. Christ that died. God justified us. Are we perplexed? This word perplexed, it means not to know what to do. Have you? Now, I'll tell you what. I spend almost all my days perplexed. I don't know what to do. How many times have people asked, well, what is the will of God in this? They're perplexed. They don't know whether to go to the right or to the left. They don't know whether to buy this or to not, or to do this and do it. We're always perplexed with questions. Always trying to diagnose something, aren't we? Always doubting, to be mentally at a loss. We may always be perplexed by the providence of God. Are you perplexed by that? Because I am. I get perplexed. I don't know where to go. Seems like God's moving in one direction and all of a sudden I get hit in the face. And it's, nope, that's not where I'd go. That's not a good place to go. But we who have Christ, no matter how it appears, we're never without hope. We're never without a way. God will always make a way of escape. God will always make a way for us, and He'll always show us the way. The best thing to do if you don't know, wait. Wait. Wait on the Lord. Isn't that the best place to be? If He's not giving you an answer, wait. Surely we'll make the wrong choice. Surely we will. We will be persecuted. This is a prolonged causative form of the verb to flee. In other words, we will be constantly, forever in this life, persecuted. This day, we're not worried about soldiers coming in yet. I said, yet. Don't think we're not far from it, or don't think it's not possible to happen tomorrow, if God will it to. But I'll tell you, the day we live in, it's those of our own household who persecute us the most. It is. Those we love the most persecute us the most. They're always, and they don't even know what they're doing. I don't think that most of this is intentional. Most of this is because they kick against God. They hate God. Can't get to God, they'll get to you. But a believer in Christ, we will never be forsaken. Look at that. He said, we are perplexed but not despair. We are persecuted but not forsaken. Not forsaken. I will never leave thee. When is He going to leave you? When will He leave you? Has He ever left you? Has He for one moment of your life ever left you? No. He sticketh closer than a brother. Cast down. How often are we thrown to the ground in sorrow? Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Believer, we will be cast down by the chastening hand of God. Have you been chastened? Was that bad or good? The Scripture says it's good to be chastened. Because if you are not chastened, then are you bastards and not sons. Praise God for His chastising hand. He said, we are cast down, but praise God we're not destroyed. Praise God He won't destroy us. When we are delivered unto death. The world says, save yourself. But we say, we're already dead. Had a man, I was listening to this man in his story in World War II. He was talking to this young guy who was scared. He was always afraid. He would never go into battle. He was always lagging behind. And he said, you know what your problem is? You got hope that you're going to live. You see what confidence we would have if we recognize we're already dead. Dead to the world. Dead to sin. Dead to the law. What confidence. What confidence we would have in our ministry. How dead should we be to this world? Well, how dead is dead? How dead is dead? Well, it's dead. We've died in Christ to this world. And therefore, we yield up our bodies daily as a sacrifice. We yield our flesh, our bones, our body, our soul, our mind, to what? Christ and His ministry. I pray that God would help us and give us strength, encouragement to endure in the ministry of God's grace. Let's stand, we'll be dismissed in prayer.